There you go. Google can't be wrong. It says 7 o'clock. We'll start.
Okay.
So we will call to order the electronic special meeting of the Ashland Planning Commission of April 28th, 2020. Announcements? Bill, you had a couple?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know, Roger, if you'll let me just start off by just saying, you know, this is Commissioner Brown's last meeting, and, you know, on behalf of staff, he will be sorely missed. I do have to say, after 6 years on the commission, he looks the same as he did 6 years ago. So must say something about serving as a planning commissioner.
It doesn't age.
It doesn't age. So, you know, I think definitely myself and other members of staff appreciate the insights Commissioner Brown brought, specifically with his expertise in design as a professional architect, and you know, making contributions to the discussion about not only the finer details of projects, but also just how projects also their relationship to the broader neighborhood and the city in general. So, and I'll always remember, you always place an emphasis on the need to have a clear, big vicinity map. So it provides some informed decision making, you know. And then also I'll notice he was generally the first one to show up at the annual planning commission retreats. And I assume that was because he liked fresh coffee and first choice of pastry. So Troy, we'll miss you. Thanks a lot for your work on the commission. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry to lose you, Troy. I'm sorry you're leaving.
Well, I was, my term is up.
Well, that's a small
point. We could
talk
the mayor into reappointing you if you were willing.
Well, they asked, and I thought about it for about 2 weeks, and then I said, nah, 6 years is probably enough.
Oh, well, thank you. Personally, I'd like to thank you very much for your service. I learned an awful lot from you, and we really have appreciated your presence and your wisdom.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Election of officers, Bill, we're going to do that in May.
Yes, that's we have that scheduled for the regular meeting in May. Generally, it's done at a regular meeting. Also, we will be televised in May, so you know, that works well as well. We are venturing into a new format now, and I might as well just mention that. Just a little background. Back in March, the city administrator Kelly Matting suspended essentially all non-essential regular committee and commission meetings. However, the suspension in rules for city commissions really provide an allowance for the city council as well as the planning commission to conduct their meetings in a virtual format in order, because the planning commission, like the council, is a final decision maker as well as provides recommendations on a variety of items that the council would be a final decision maker, primarily legislation or legislative items like we're viewing tonight. So really, you know, there are some requirements set forth in the executive order by the governor in terms of how we do this, and we're probably going to learn a little as we go along. But tonight's meeting is a little different, that we do not have an RVTV feed, so we needed to make it possible for the public to view or listen to the meeting. when we do have the RVTV feed at the regular meeting, we might do as the council does, that when there's a requirement for public testimony and we have the RVTV feed, the council generally has been requiring that testimony to be done in a written fashion leading up to the meeting, rather than having my understanding the general public participate through Zoom, other than staff and other guests of staff that are part of the agenda item. So that's where we are. That's just a little update, and I think that's all I have. But we do at this point in May, we are planning, and Maria, correct me if I'm wrong, I know I think we're looking at having a evidentiary meeting on the Highway 99 annexation, and it's primarily a meeting. There's been a lot of information swirling around between staff, the applicant, and the Oregon Department of Transportation, and we just thought before too much time elapses that we would at least be able to update the Planning Commission at that meeting. We're not looking for a deliberation and a recommendation, because after that meeting, probably any questions or comments that you have, we were going to forward on to the Transportation Commission. Right now, they're not conducting virtual meetings. So the plan for the Public Works Department was to provide them some of your discussion, and then them individually contact the Public Works Department and try to provide that to the Planning Commission at the time that you actually deliberate and formulate a recommendation to the council. But we don't anticipate that to be until probably June or July at the earliest.
Okay. Is that still a...
It's a legislative.
An annexation purely and not accompanied by a site review?
That's correct.
Okay. And after we elect new officers, I can't run again, which everyone I'm sure is glad for, but I have my new background already for after I'm out.
Very nice.
Thank you. I have one other question, Bill, in terms of announcements. Did the council ever take up the recommendation we sent to them about the downtown zone and downtown design area plaza requirements?
They were supposed to take it up several weeks ago. It was delayed because of obviously the emergency situation. It's on their agenda for May 19th. So that's when it's going back to them. So it's
okay. Thank you. We have one item for the consent agenda, the approval of minutes from the March 10, 2020 regular meeting. Did anyone have any comments or edits or corrections to those minutes?
I move approval.
Yes, Troy?
I need to abstain. I wasn't there.
Okay. Well, let's just vote by voice vote then. All in favor of approving the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And we have one abstention, Mr. Brown. And Carrie, you're
on. Yeah, I wasn't there either.
Sorry?
I was not there either.
Okay, we have two abstentions then. So they're approved by a 5-0 vote with two abstentions. We have one item on the, we have no one for public forum, I take it, Dana. We have one item for the legislative public hearing for this long process we have embarked on to clarify update and improve the open space requirements, where open space is either required or allowed for bonuses in various places in our land use code. Maria, you are on task for explaining that to us. Thank you for doing all this work and for the staff report, which I thought was great.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm going to do a presentation, and I know the Planning Commission has seen quite a bit of this already, but I feel like it's important to go through it all since it's a public hearing. This is being recorded so people can watch it after the fact, and also for those people on the phone, so we can, you know, from the public who are listening. I just wanted to qualify it by saying that. So since we have been working on this project a while, I thought it was important to talk about why we're amending the open space standards. In terms of the project objectives or reasons, there's really three things. One is to provide a clear explanation of open space requirements for applicants and neighbors. And this is really something that staff does day to day. We haven't talked about it much at the Planning Commission meetings, but when we talk to primarily its applicants, their questions are always, how much open space do I have to have? What does it need to look like? And can I count private yards? So the existing ordinance has proved confusing for those applicants, and this is an important reason we've undertaken this project. The second reason is really the Planning Commission, as I'm sure you all remember, in some past recent applications, planning applications at public hearings, had discussions about how to apply the standards to those projects, and specifically a couple examples are 1068 East Main and the Garfield project. Issues like how much common space, how much private, because that wasn't clear in the ordinance, and also the major recreational facilities density bonus. And then finally, kind of the more long-term objective is improving the function of common open spaces and housing developments for the residents that live there. And actually, I shouldn't just say common, I think it's private too. But we've gone out on staff visit, on site visits. Next slide, please. Next slide. Oops, sorry, we're having some technical challenges here. There we go. We've gone out on some Planning Commission site visits at annual retreats and noticed things like sort of narrow spaces that had been counted as common open space. And the next slide. And then areas, you know, that are primarily covered with bark and having electric transformers and pedestals located in the open spaces. So there's some of the kind of improving the function and the use of open spaces that we're trying to address. So in terms of the current ordinance, there's four types of residential development that require open space: multifamily development, attached single family development, which is usually townhomes but can be other configurations, subdivisions and single family zones, which are detached houses, and then cottage housing developments. In this package of amendments, we're not addressing cottage housing developments. That set of standards was recently developed and seems to be working well. This is really working on the first three types of development. Next slide. So just some quick examples of the three different kinds of development we're working on the standards for. One is multifamily. This is a project we visited on Hersey Street a few years ago, and they had 11 multifamily units and provided their open space through a combination of private decks and a common deck and landscaped area and then some backyard area. Next slide. That's just the site plan that shows that. Next slide. And then that second category is the attached single family development. So it requires both site design review and it's a performance standards option subdivision because each townhome is located on its own individual lot. So that's why it's called attached single family development. And here again, in this development, a little over 6,000 square feet in open space, and half was in common and half was in porches and patios. And then next slide, the final kind of open space is when single family subdivisions are developed. This was Hellman Springs subdivision, had a little over an acre of open space, next slide, which was above what was required, far above what was required, but they had some wetlands and natural springs and also a grove of mature trees. So next slide. So in terms of what stays the same in the ordinance as well as in the application of the ordinance, the area required stays the same. So for multifamily developments and attached single family residential, it's 8% of the total lot area. And for performance standard subdivisions of detached single family residential units that have 10 units or more, it's 5% of the total lot area. That's not changing. What's also not changing, in the past, it's been applied that when you have a development that both requires site design review and performance standard subdivision, that the density bonus doesn't apply until you provide that 8% of open space. Next slide. In terms of the mechanics, the base density calculation is still based on the total lot area. That hasn't changed. Multifamily and attached single family housing developments, oh, I think I just said that, are eligible for density bonus after 8%. The maintenance of the open space is either by the property owner in multifamily development or association of owners in a single family development. And the common open space has to be installed before the final plat is signed or building permits are issued, unless the applicant provides financial security and a timeline for when they'll put in the improvements. Next slide. So it continues to allow the ordinance a combination of common and private open space for those multifamily and attached single family developments, and performance standard subdivision of 10 units or more required common open space. So just common open space, their private yard areas are not part of this requirement. Next slide. And finally, what stays the same in terms of design standards, the common open space can include natural features. Private open space, when it's counted in the required area, can include decks, patios, balconies, porches, yards. We continue to have the standard play areas for children for projects of 20 units or more in multifamily and attached single family housing. That was something the Planning Commission brought back in at the last meeting. And then the common open space has to provide a suitable surface for human use. We did the Planning Commission talked about an amendment at the last meeting, which has been added to this standard, which would allow up to 50% of the common open space to be covered in shrubs, mulch, and other ground covers, which are generally considered not suitable for human use, as long as the residents can move through and interact with the open space. So that was from the last meeting.
Maria?
Yes?
Roger? Can I jump in here? Because this was a question. Remember the project that we just looked at a couple months ago that Laz and Mark were doing down in North Mountain? Yep. And they had proposed a garden, and we said that they couldn't do it because we didn't have the tool and to say it was okay. Is this a place that it would be okay or not?
Yeah, that's what it's trying to address. And I basically sort of tried to follow the commission's discussion and come up with what you were saying you thought it should be.
Okay, I was just unclear about that. Okay, good.
I think that's what that provision is actually trying to address.
Okay, which I think is really, really good.
Okay,
can I on the choice of wording, do you think there's enough specificity with what it means to say move through and interact? I mean, that could mean, move through and cut a flower, off the bush. Are we going to find that this ends up being pretty broad, and is that okay?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that's probably a discussion item for the commission. Mm-hmm. I sort of contemplated putting in something about, you know, requiring a trail, but then it's sort of like, do you say a trail through, you know, I was trying to think of a distance or, you know, does it have to cover so much? So if there's any ideas about that, staff is certainly open to that.
Well, I think with the, you know, again, the project that I was talking about, it was very clear that they were going to have a path and maybe a bench there. And I think that the stipulation what Lynn is asking, I think, is totally appropriate, that we define it just a little bit more, that it is like what it's meant to be. Because, again, like the Helm and Bath property, you know, part of what we approved there, you know, was that, you know, that they had a bench and they actually do have a bench out in that sort of wetland area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I may, that is one of the things that I had thought that we had really discovered in depth, because we had felt, at least Michael had felt, that an area that
I'm going to miss you, Troy.
I know you are. But going out, I've got to agree with you at least once before I leave. But the area you move through, but I had thought that somehow or other the wording could cover that you could actually sit or somehow or other do more than just move through it. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what Lynn is talking about also. You can just move through it, true, and take a few flowers with you, but it would be nice if you could do more than just move through it. But I do remember the one that Michael was talking about, and I do agree in hindsight that it does make sense to have those types of areas. And this seems to cover it, except for that it almost seems like you need to test it and see how it goes and then modify it. Because interact with the open space does mean moving, sitting, clipping.
Well, it sort of also is about utilizing the space, it seems to me. It's, you know, that we want the space to be used. And I suppose, you know, certainly a garden that people can garden in would be using the space. You know, maybe arguably hiking through is using, sitting on a bench as a, you know, for meditation purposes or whatever is using. I just think we have to be, I would tend to say something about utilizing the space for, I don't know if we want to say recreation, but
usable for human activity, perhaps.
Yeah, utilize. You know that you can utilize it for activity, not just walk through it. I don't know.
Interact tends to cover it all.
You think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's going to be one of those you're going to need to test and tweak. And I think if you left it alone, pretty much, if someone came along and says, we're putting in benches, then that would be good. If someone came along and didn't put in, I think you could ask them to put in the bench. So you could go either way. You know, you don't have to just have them walk through. You can at any time say, you know, you should have, you're going to need to put a bench there.
What about actually saying utilize? And then listing what that means.
If you can get it worded, that works.
That's, yeah. It covers a multitude of possibilities. Is the, you know, the difficulty is, you know, defining all of them.
Right, yeah. But you can say such as.
But we could give examples.
Well, I think that Troy's idea was like right on. That, I mean, when they come before a planning commission, we go like, "Oh yeah, well that really isn't enough."
Yeah, I worry a little bit about for when we're requiring the space. You know, if it's, the open space is just a bonus, that's fine. That's a bonus that's an extra. When we're requiring open space, we can run into the difficulty of it not being a clear and objective standard. If we, you know, if it's too vague and we just sort of decide on an ad hoc basis every time. So Carrie's suggestion might be a good one to say, you know, to interact with such as benches, areas of refuge, you know, pathways.
Well, she has that. She has that. ED trail or sitting area in natural garden or garden area, if that's what the ordinance says. That's what the memo says.
I'm not sure that's in the ordinance. Is it, Maria?
It's in the first part under, if you're in that first ordinance on page 11, I've created a new section called improvements, and it's in that first
section B5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't, you know. Okay, that.
I see. Yeah, it's structured a little differently than the memo.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Decks, gazebos, arbors, benches, tables, eating areas, natural areas, walking paths, things like that. Do those sorts of examples help, Carrie?
Well, it's at the end of A, 5A, surfacing, can be covered by shrubs, mulch, and other ground covers that do not provide suitable surface for human use if residents have the ability to move through and interact with the common open space. And that's where you get with whether interact is defined to mean what was listed above.
I think utilize is better than interact.
It would be. I would interpret it that way. You know, that 5A, what's mentioned in A is, you know, modified by what's above it in 5.
Okay. Any other questions about that, Maria? Go ahead.
Okay. So in terms of the amendments, the thing that the commission might have noticed that's different than the last time you looked at it is the format. So the open space requirements are in a new section in the chapter 18.4.4. This is to make it more user-friendly and have a table that consolidates the requirements, going back to my first statement when I was starting about talking to applicants and describing the requirements. This is, so the part 18.4.4 is the site development and use standards. And there are other chapters and sections that are formatted this way, where you have the area or number requirements as well as design requirements in the individual sections or chapters. So for example, parking is referred to, is in 18.4.4, that whole part. And it has the number of spaces as well as design standards for size, location, backup, as well as landscaping. Landscaping, when you go to that section, has the minimum area required, number of street trees, parking lot trees, plant selection, size, and placement. This is similar for streets and solar access, or a couple of more examples. So staff feels like this is consistent with the way the code is formatted. And again, going back to 2015, trying to make it more user-friendly, because what the path we were going down was leaving it located in chapter 18.3.9, the performance standards option, and 18.4.2, which is actually building placement, orientation, and design. And the standards were getting really duplicative, and it made sense to staff to put it in one place. So that's the explanation of that. Next slide.
Roger, can I ask Maria a quick question?
Please.
Maria, I really just like pipe the table.
Up. I don't have all of your faces on my screen when this is up, so you just need to pipe up. Thank you.
Sure. I really like the table, Maria. Is there a reason not to put the cottage housing stuff on this table also?
Well, the way it's constructed, it technically doesn't apply to the cottage housing. Mm-hmm. The cottage housing standards are standalone, and they're in 18.2 because it's actually considered a use. Mm-hmm. And so it's all covered under the special use standards.
Okay. I mean, I was just thinking, the density bonus shouldn't apply to cottage housing. Open space, they might look here, but that's fine.
Yeah.
If we need to do some cleanup on 18.39 because the way it reads right now, it applies the bonuses to cottage housing, and it should.
Yeah, I think with this ordinance stuff, in my experience, it's always, it's never perfect. I think ideally you would have all the open space requirements in one place. I don't know, maybe that would be a good next step to put cottage housing here too, and to kind of reformat that section. Should I keep going?
Please.
So in terms of the amendments for definitions, the open space definition was revised really to make it clear what the general meaning of open space is, as well as adding definitions for common, private, and public open space. And because we have more specific design standards for private open space, there are added definitions for ground floor dwelling unit and upper floor dwelling unit. And then at the last Planning Commission meeting, the Planning Commission wanted a definition of play area added, so that's included. We revised the definition of common area and yard, really to eliminate those conflicts with the definition of open space. And then the last piece was we revised the definition of unbuildable area and added a definition of buildable area. That's really not directly related to the open space package, but it was something that was mistakenly left out of the 2015 amendments. We used to have a different definition of unbuildable area, and it's caused some confusion lately. So we added that in. Next slide. So this is just following up on those definition terms. The green space is kind of generally what we call open space when we use it without a qualifier. Next slide. Next slide. And then the common open space is really that area that's internal to the development that's really serving communally, you know, all the residents in the development. Next slide. And then finally, those private open spaces that really are the decks, patios, and porches, private yard areas, and the second story balconies, or could be more story balconies. Next slide. So moving on to the common open space, this is just an example out at Snowberry Brook on Clay Street. This big grassy area is part of their open space, and that you can see the play structure in the background. I just wanted to give you an example of what we're talking about. Next slide. So the proposed amendments for common open space are that when you have developments of 10 or more multi-family or attached single family housing, half of the open space has to be common open space. So that isn't in the code now. It's not clear how much and when the common open space has to be in these kind of developments. So that's added for clarification. And then this is really, I think in practice it's been applied this way, but it makes it explicit that when you have both a subdivision animal and a attached single family housing development, the common open space is 4% rather than 5%. 5% again is that number for detached single family housing. Another new design standard is that no dimension of a space is less than 20 feet and the minimum area is 400 square feet, which is, if you can envision, about the size of a standard two-car garage on a single-family home is usually around 400 square feet. And then not locating common open space in those buffer or perimeter yard areas of a development. Next slide. And then locating areas designed for active use on slopes less than 5%, and there are some specific examples in the code. The fences and walls around common open space can only be up to 4 feet in height, but there are some exemptions if you're on the perimeter of the development and you have neighboring, you know, yards. And then at the last meeting, the Planning Commission asked that some standards be added for allowing structures in those common open spaces. And then finally, up to 50% credit for common open space and multifamily and attached single family housing within an eighth of a mile of a park. So next slide. These are just, we can go through these quickly, but these are just, these are graphics that we're going to include in the code to give, again, going back to that user-friendly piece, some seems like it's a good idea to explain requirements in some visual ways. So these slides, next slide, show the common area and what's ineligible. And, next slide. Oh, that was it. So then these are just moving on to private open space.
Can I just interrupt for a second? I think that it would be valuable to put a 20-foot dimension. I know that these are really, you know, the graphics are really clean, but to show that that space that has the path going through it is 20 feet wide.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it would be valuable for explanation purposes. That's all.
Okay, thank you. For private open space, these are just a couple examples of areas that have worked in the past. So that second story balcony, next slide. And a French, a sort of generous front porch area, next slide. So the proposed amendments for private open space are really adding some dimensional requirements, which aren't in the code right now. Basically that it's at least 6 feet deep and 48 square feet in size at a minimum. That's accessed directly by the door of the units that it serves. For ground floor private open spaces, it can't be located within 12 feet of refuse or recycling. And then making it clear that for private open space areas, you can include those walkways or storage or bicycle racks. So this is, again, a graphic showing where those decks, patios, and porches would go that we'll put in the code. Next slide. And the small landings that don't count. Next slide. And the second story balconies. Next slide. Private yard areas. Next slide. And what you can't count at the ground level there, which is those walkways. Next slide. So that's just a summary. And then the last two things that are sort of miscellaneous amendments we talked about last time is making it clear that utility vaults and pedestals can't be included in open space area. And the density for the major recreational facilities was deleted. And I think it wasn't clear in the staff report, but there were three reasons for deleting the open space. Those are really things the Planning Commission had discussed, and I wanted to capture those. To see if that's what you're thinking, because eventually you'll have a recommendation that goes to the Planning Commission. And the three things I had noted that you had talked about is that it's difficult to determine the value of major recreational facilities and verify that when giving somebody a density bonus. There was concern about the maintenance costs, especially for our owners association if a major recreational facility is installed. And then finally, just that it's rarely been used as a density bonus.
It's never been used, has it?
Bill probably knows better than I don't. I mean, the Garfield project was going to use it, and then that. But they did it. Yeah, I think there might have been one subdivision that had put in a swimming pool quite a long time ago.
That would have been a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next, so that's really the end of the amendments to really the area and design standards, sort of the bulk of the requirements. The second ordinance, the much longer ordinance, is the open space terminology, and that's really going through the entire Title 18 land use and looking at where the terms open space and parks are used, and then distinguishing again between the general use of open space and then qualifying it when it's common, private, or public. And that section was reviewed by the subcommittee since the last Planning Commission meeting. Next slide. And then finally, in terms of next steps, we're sort of anticipating that we'll staff will need to do some fine tuning and cleanup to this version of the code, and then bring it back for the Planning Commission to make a recommendation to council in May. And then we have it scheduled in June for a public hearing at the City Council. So that's the end of the presentation.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Maria?
Yes.
Yeah. Heywood?
Did we get the 50% common area, the interaction, the one we had the big discussion on, did we get that resolved? I didn't hear something totally that we had the language, because I think that's something we, if this is to go on and make a recommendation to the council, I think we need to get that resolved, and maybe it got resolved and I missed it, but do you think we got it resolved?
Is that a question for me or for everyone else, for the commission?
Well, I'll ask it of you. Did you get clear direction that allows you to come up with the language that we can take from there and you don't have to come back to us again?
It would help to have some clarification. I think I heard one take on it was that on page 11, the under 5, the introduction covered it, and then I think there was maybe another opinion that under A at the end on page 12 that it talk about use and then have some examples there.
Because I was thinking at the time, it says that 50% can be covered as long as it supports and there's a trail through it and you can interact. But I think what we're saying is that you can have 50% covered if it enhances the other 50%, which is not covered. That, I think, is what you're after, because I think of my own subdivision. We do have a bench, but nobody ever sits it. People stand by the bench, and they stand near it, and the area that's landscaped, for example, there's some beautiful oak trees. They need mulch under them because bark and things to support the oak trees. Well, the oak tree enhances the overall part of the other part that gets used. And I think that's what we're after, is if that 50% that we're talking about enhances the other 50%. That's where I think we want to be. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think what you're getting at is I probably should have also included the old standard that talks about what's happening in the other 50%, which is that you do have an area that's suitable for human surface, for human use.
Yeah. I mean, my concern would be that 5A looks to me almost like it's an exception to 5, that half the common open space can really not contain the amenities, necessarily the improvement examples that are in 5, as long as you can just go through and interact. I mean, I think, you know, that would be a possible interpretation that it's a looser standard for 50% of it. And I think, to me, that's the question, if that's what's intended.
Yeah, so I didn't include the old standard. Maybe that should be the first part that says, you know, the surface of the common open space has to be surfaces that are suitable for human use. And then it would be something like, except that a maximum of 50% of the required common space may be covered by shrubs, mulch, and then go on.
Yeah, as long as I thought that, Haywood's suggestion might work in there if it enhances or contributes to the remainder of the common space activities or something. So that,
that might be useful. But when I read 5A, it seems to say that you can put stuff in there that's not suitable for human use as long as the residents have the ability to use it, to interact with it. So it's like, where it's like pulling in two directions, and it's a little unclear right now, and not having the standard for the other 50% makes it even more unclear. I think it'd be good to add that back in, Maria.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly how to fix it. Maybe that it can be covered by shrubs, mulch, and other ground covers and strike that do not provide suitable surface for human use, so long as you have the ability to interact with it and it enhances the rest of it and leave the inability for human use out.
Well, so all of it is human use. There's not 50% that is useful and 50% that's not. So it seems like there's another way to break it down, which is that what you're really saying is that 50% of it is walkable. Like it's the surface orientation. 50% of it is surfaces that are easy to walk on, move through, sit on, whatever. And then 50% of it can be shrub or other, as long as it is still useful and still utilizable. So the definition is set up wrong because all of it is to be utilized.
Yeah, I like Haywood's idea that it enhances the use of the open space. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be grass that you can,
lay on.
Make any use you want on.
Okay.
I think if everyone agrees what Commissioner Kim Karen is saying, I think that gives some direction, Maria, don't you think, to take a look at it?
I think, go ahead.
I mean, the only comment I'm concerned with regarding Haywood's comment and then Chair Pierce is just enhances. I'm not sure, when we bring up sort of clear and objective standards, that always concerns me a little bit in terms of that it's enhancing the other part. But maybe I'm overly concerned with that.
Well, maybe if you get rid of the clause that says not suitable for human use, it removes that ambiguity.
Yeah.
So it all has to be useful.
It says suitable surface for human use, which is from the old code. It's a hard thing to describe, which Commissioner Kincarin was talking about. It's trying to say like a surface, a suitable surface for human use is something you can walk on, grass you can sit on, not bark mulch, right?
So so you need to somehow define what those surfaces are and say that 50% can be something else.
Right.
Why don't you just say it can be covered by shrubs, mulch, or other ground covers? I mean, why do you have to have the broader?
Well, I think what it should say is that half has to be suitable surface for human use and half can be covered by shrubs, mulch, and other ground.
No, it's all human use. You need to get rid of that. So half of it.
But how do you, but I mean, that's
half
how
of
you
it
talk
is
about.
Half of it is to be walked on or laid on or unobstructed. It's like it's defining that it's a surface that can be used in a bunch of different ways versus plants and shrubs and trees.
Yeah. And an unobstructed 50% unobstructed without bark and shrubs and the rest can be that, but you still have to be able to use it.
You might be able to use an accessible definition, not take it to full ADA, but it's a surface that these things can be done on, and then 50% of it can be more, can have more obstruction or not be hard or be, be softer scaped.
It sounds like, if I can jump in, it sounds like the two halves of this particular space needs to be in one paragraph. Because the problem seems to be coming about that we're talking about one half somewhere else, then talking about this half here, where if you all put it all in one paragraph and talk about it that way, then we can get away from these ambiguities, whether it is human use and non-human use, or whether it is interactive or non-interactive. I think if we put it all in one paragraph, that part of it, 50% of it can have shrubs and ground covers, but you still need to talk about the other half. And what we've done now is we separate it out as if it's two separate parts, that they're not in the same type of use.
How about if all 100% of the open space needs to be able to be utilized by people, 50% of it can have shrubs, mulch, or other materials on the ground or something. But it's like it all needs to be utilized. And 50% of it doesn't have to be a firm, easy to walk on surface. I mean, that's not what you want to say, but Troy's right. It's like it's all thing. It's all open space.
We need to bring it together in one paragraph or in one statement, or they are close enough together that people can read it as one. And right now there's two separate things with two separate areas with two separate requirements. And I don't think that's what we're after. We're really after trying to make it all one area.
Yeah, but part of it can have, shrubs and bark on it. Yeah, I think that's a good idea, guys.
Yeah. So this is what
does that give you enough direction, Maria?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Troy.
It's what we normally do to Maria. We just kick the ball down the field and say, Maria, pick it up and run.
But does that lead you enough to where you can catch it?
Yeah. Okay. I've got the ball. I'm running.
We're not throwing behind you. Okay, any other questions? I know we didn't have anyone to sign up to speak from the public, but we do have, I believe, one person on the phone. 973-0254. Brandon, could you unmute them and ask them if they have any comments? Okay, do you have any comments? Anyone from the public listening in? Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed to a deliberation, I guess, discussion. Maria?
I should have mentioned that I did send an email to everyone who submitted a written comment. And also there was one other person who had just been following it. So I send them links to the packet and the meeting information about how to participate. So
great.
We did do that.
Okay, thank you. So how do you want to go through this in any sort of detail? I have some concerns, but what do people think? Are we happy with the chart? I hate the chart. I personally would prefer the requirement to be in each section where it's required, and then for the 18.44.070 to be the standards. But I'm okay with the chart if we can revise it to where it's not, I think it's inaccurate right now. If you look at the chart, it talks about, we're talking about everything in 852 that's a site design review has to have 8% of the total lot being in open space. And that's not true. It's the stuff that requires 8% open space is the residential buildings governed by 18.42.030H, because there's tons of things that are site design review that are not governed by that. We do a lot of commercial site design review. So the way it's written right now, it applies to all commercial site design review. There's a lot of site design review like a wireless communication facility. I mean, the seven different residential site design reviews, many of which don't require open space under 18.420.30H. So I think we, in the chart, we need to say specifically where these requirements are from, rather than just the shorthand of saying site design review. And that would be 18.420.30H, you know, 18.250.080F, 18.390.50B. I think those are the three other places we've required it in the, or where it's either required or allowed for bonuses in the code. Does that make any sense to people?
Well, if it's not in the chart and it's someplace else and it's correct, then it's bringing it over to the chart. But if it's inaccurate, that means it's wrong.
The charge rule.
So if you're bringing something over that's inaccurate and putting it in the chart, you're putting something in the chart that's wrong. So if I'm not willing to start approving things, if something's inaccurate and it is wrong, if it's just in the wrong place, that's a different situation. But
yeah. The way it's written right now, and we'll let Maria respond, the way it's written right now is it's the actual requirement, how much open space is required and what kind, is taken out of those code provisions, and it just refers to 18.440.70. Just like we do with parking, it says, and parking is required pursuant to 18.42, whatever it is. And I think that's okay as long as the chart is accurate. I just don't think the chart is accurate right now. It's just done with sort of a shorthand reference to site design review. And site design review is required for a lot of different things that are not our open space requirements. So it just needs to be cleaned up. If we use the chart.
You're saying is that there's something accurate someplace else that needs to be in the chart.
What I'm saying is that the way it's written right now is that the open space requirement is just a reference back to 18.440.70. The 18.420.30H, for example, doesn't say that 8% of open space is required. It just says open space is required per 18.440.70, and it just refers back there, and all the requirements are back there. And I don't think those requirements back there, they can be corrected. They're just not correct right now. We refer broadly to site design review, and site design review covers a ton of things that we don't require open space for.
Well, except that the reference to the table is only in those sections where it would be applicable, I assume. Right? I mean, the sections that would have open space applicable to them are the ones that say, go look at that table. The ones that don't have any open space requirements don't say, go look at the table.
But it says, go look at but the table requires the open space. The table is what requires the open space now. That section is what requires open space in our code.
Yeah.
It needs to be accurate.
Yeah. I mean, that's. Yeah.
And in fact, at one place, we don't even refer to the table. You know, in the 18.250.80F3, we don't even refer to the table. That's the standard. So we just need to clean up. We need to clean up those references and to clean up the citations in the chart as to where the open space is actually required. And that's my only kick about the chart.
So there's nothing wrong with the chart. There's nothing wrong with the chart itself. It's just the idea that the chart is not accurate as it should be.
I think that
the chart's fine if the chart was accurate.
You know, having a chart
okay.
is not the way I do it, just because my brain doesn't work like that. But having the chart is fine. And I really like the idea that Maria came up with of not putting all these standards in every section that requires open space. Yeah. Otherwise, the code would be, we'd be adding three pages to every place that occur, this occurs. Put it all back in 1844070. I think the references need to be much more specific instead of just the site design review to refer to, you know, 1842030H, for example.
Right. Okay.
So Roger, I've seen a lot of codes. I've seen a lot of codes where at the bottom of the chart, we could have a footnote that says, you know, so you're crossing back and forth. You're going from the section referring to the chart, but the chart can have a footnote that says specifically it's directing you back to those sections to avoid kind of that overreach that I think you're concerned about from the chart. The other thing it allows us to do is to kind of keep one standard, but as things get added or we create new sections in the future, it's easy to update those both at the same time and not get one crossed and not the other caught up.
Yeah, I just think saying broadly site design review doesn't work because we require site design review for a million things that doesn't require open space. It's, you know, it creates a confusion because this, you know, the AT right now, 1844070 says open space is required for all this stuff, including site design review. Anytime you have site design review, you do open space. And that's just, we just need to be more specific about it.
So can I make a clarification? If you look in the ordinance, what I've been calling ordinance one, which is the skinnier, thinner package, under section one on page two. So this H is drawn from this entire section that's for residential development, as Commissioner Thompson was pointing out. And it says under B on page two, the following standards apply to residential development pursuant to section 18.5.2020. So then in terms of the standards, they even like landscaping points to the landscaping and recycling refuse areas. So it's consistent with the way it's been done because the applicability is established in B. It is specific to residential development that's under 18.5.2020, which is multifamily of two units or more and attached single family housing. So I'm not disagreeing that cross-references don't work, but I don't think it's a mistake, as was stated earlier, because where it's applicable is clearly stated in the ordinance.
Yeah, you could include a reference in the table area to reference back in the other direction of what sections of the code you're picking up, you know.
Right, yeah. But it is, you know, in the residential development section. So,
I agree that 18.5.2 is the authority for requiring this up in 1842030. But then when we get back to 1844070, in A1, we say for developments that are subject, all developments that are subject to chapter 18.5.2 site design review, there's this required open space. So we're broadening the open space requirement out to meet everything that requires design review. You know, I just think it's unclear drafting, and we need to tighten it up and say specifically what site design review elements we're talking about. And we really need to refer to 1842030H, 1825080, you know, F3, and it can be in a footnote to the site design review. It says this site design review that's for these, under these particular sections of the code, is where open space is required and not all site design review. And really it's the same thing for 1839, because 1839, if we're requiring open space here for everything that's 1839, cottage housing developments are in 1839, and we're not requiring open space under this provision for cottage housing developments. So it needs to be specific to 1839050B and not 050A2, which is cottage housing, because there's cottage housing base density in that section, and cottage housing has to be a performance standard overlay development. So I just think the references in the table are way too broad. They need to be narrowed down to what we are really, where we're really requiring open space.
See, I think that the references are specific enough, the way it's written, that it will allow the applicant to sit with staff and have a discussion. And I think, if you remember, what started all this was that there are many parts with open space, with definitions and everything, where it wasn't clear. And so if I was an applicant and I looked across and I said to Brandon or Maria, what exactly do you mean by that? And they would kind of have to go, well, but now we've defined it and they will know where the references are. They will know. I don't think we're writing this so that the applicant can take it home and basically can read everything in it and has to have minimal interaction with staff. I think they still have to have that, that the references are enough there, that they can do that. And then also, when it gets to our level, we get to levels where we'll say, well, what do we mean by that? And staff has been unable to explain to them exactly what it means because they don't know because it's not clear. And we're sitting up there going back and forth trying to define it when we're up there. With the fix the way it is, I would say that 97% of those uncertainties are now clear. Mm-hmm. And staff working with the applicant, and where these open space kind of gets a little tricky, are pretty complex projects, and the applicant is not just your single family homeowner adding on to a house. It's a person we deal with. It's the KDA Homes. It's the people like that who have a pretty good understanding to start. And another major thing that brought it all together for me tonight was the graphics. Those graphics are going to do all this. They now will have a graphic in there when they're trying to define something and they can turn and say, okay, here's where the deck applies, here's where it doesn't, here's the upper deck, here's what doesn't apply. And those graphics are probably the key thing that's going to be in here that's going to allow staff to work with the applicant. And then when it gets to us, if we want to debate things, there's going to be a much clearer definition in the way we go. But to sit and try and write this so that the applicant can take it home and is in no way going to be confused, I think, well, we're going to be here for a while if we want to do that. And I think right now it works. And what Troy said back with the interaction of the open space is a number of things in here that might not be exactly clear, but I think they're strong enough to go with them. And then if we need to come back and refine them, we're going to need to test some of them out. So that's, I just think that it's okay the way it is.
Yeah, Troy?
It appears to me reading it, starting with the beginning, purpose and intent, that if I was a commercial developer or a person developing anything other than a residential, I wouldn't even look here. Because this is clearly for residential development. And so for the other types of projects that are going on, I wouldn't even be bothered to take a look at this particular section. So I think maybe the chart is broad, but is broad only for residential development. It has nothing to do with cottage housing. It has nothing to do with any of the other housing types, or the other building types, rather.
Yeah. So commercial suggestion is that if it doesn't have anything to do with cottage housing and it doesn't have anything to do with commercial development, let's clear up that ambiguity. Because right now, if I'm not worried about applicants. Right now, if I'm a plaintiff, I'm coming in, if I'm a plaintiff for a cell tower site, I'm coming in and going, hey, 18440070 says it applies to all site design review. Residential site design review is required for these cell towers, and you got to have open space for your cell tower because that's what the code says. So all I'm asking is to drop a footnote to those cites to 1852, the references to 1852, and say, these are the sections we're referring to. And drop a footnote to 1839 and say, this is the section we're referring to, not cottage housing. Because as it is now, it applies to all, everything in 1839, which includes cottage housing. It's just, you know, I think the chart's just unclear and needs cleaning up.
Seems like it's a pretty simple fix, really. Right, Maria? I mean, you can just add some code sections to the chart.
Yeah, I mean, there on section 4, which is on page 9, there's applicability section. This is for that chapter. And it, you know, you can see the pattern is to have talk about what it applies to. So I added a section on open space there. And so I can change that to have the specific code references and then also add a footnote to the table.
That works for me. Because right now that applicability says it established requirements for all residential developments subject to site design review and performance standards option. And that includes a bunch of types of residential uses in 1852.020B that aren't, that open space isn't really required for. And it includes cottage housing. So we could just make that specific. I think that would go a long way to keeping plaintiff attorneys like me off your back. Because I could get this up to Luba and get it remanded in a heartbeat. So
you'd be the first.
Anything else about the short ordinance? That's the hard one. Anything else about that for Maria or for discussion? Okay, what did people think about the big folk? This one. The 117 pager. Were there any comments or questions? Maria shared with me that it's the lawyer's fault. The city attorney's office, whenever you change even one word in a code section, they want the whole code section in the ordinance. And that's understandable, I guess, from when you're going back and looking at legislative history in your ordinances and your city attorney. My only comment was it's so long that it's hard to find the changes. So, you know, my suggestion, and I think Maria said she could do this, is to highlight the changes in yellow when it goes to council or when it comes back to us. So, I think we can go through and find them. But when it goes to council, just highlight those changes in yellow so that, you know, they can flip through and see, because most of these are just little word changes. Does that make sense to people? I see nodding. Yes. That's sure. Nodding, yes. Is not sleeping.
Yes, Roger, and I think that it should be made clear to the council that the subcommittee, the three-person subcommittee, went through this, read it in detail, and commented, and did a very, very thorough review.
Thank you, subcommittee member.
So that to make sure that it was consistent, and so. Based on that, yes, it's hard to find the changes, but I think hopefully they can trust us that the changes are the right one, given the amount of work that went in by the subcommittee.
Yeah, I just like not to frustrate them, you know, so they can, okay, just, you know, you're looking for the yellow highlights. Oh, okay, you changed open space to common open space. You changed, you know, open space to you know, penetration when you're talking about the shielding for the mobile home and stuff like that.
Yes.
Troy?
It,
if yellowing works, then that's okay. But when I started going through it, I thought the bolding and the underlining worked just as well. Okay. I think that if you were moving this on to council, the only thing you would do is somehow make an overall statement that says what the substance changes are, and then that is mostly changes to changes a word. And you can change it to yellow, but I find having it still turn it page by page to see the yellow is about the same as page by page to see the bold. And so, because if you want to know what every piece that was changed, so I think if you started it, if there was something more, which it doesn't appear to be, there's really no long sentences that are changed. There's nothing but a word here, word there, a line, pieces there. You can make a statement that starts with that and say everything else is a word change. You'll find them throughout. It is easy to do the yellow. It won't hurt, but I found the bold and the underlining work just fine.
Well, it just perhaps turns we should leave page. It up to Maria, because she's going to be the person that has to explain it to city council.
I found the changes easy to find. The downside is I had to turn every page.
That's right.
That's it. You just got to turn the pages.
You can get a cramp.
Well, I did it fast.
Yeah. The only other thing I wanted to ask people about was the one thing that we took out of the code that we got a couple of comments from people on is the major recreational facility. Were people in agreement with the explanations of that? Yes. It's little used, you know, it's hard to.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought Maria did a good job of. Okay. Any others?
Yeah, and I agree.
Okay. Well, gee, is there anything else we need to do tonight for the good of the order, Maria?
So when we bring this back in May for your recommendation, would the commissioners be okay with not bringing back that ordinance you were just talking about, not having that physically in the packet? Because all I will change is go through and do the yellow highlights. I won't change anything else. So I'm just wondering if we can just, when we do the packet for the next meeting, just do, you know, basically that first ordinance.
I think that's what you're hearing. Yep. And
you.
If you don't think the yellow highlights would be required for the city council, you know, don't do them. It's your discretion. Evidently,
no, I mean,
planning commission members didn't have any problem finding it.
Yeah, I think probably any way we can point them out to the council would be good, because I think we'll get some grief about how thick it is. So,
yeah, we can blame it on Dave. Blame it on the lawyers. Okay, everyone gets to wish a final fond farewell to Commissioner Brown.
Bye, Troy. We'll miss you.
I miss you. Bye, good luck.
You can come.
It's been fun. It's been interesting. And it's filled a good slot every other Tuesday night or so.
I'm back.
Well, thank you again.
And remember, right, Troy, remember out there on the golf course, keep your head down. Keep your head down.
If they ever open it up again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They are.
Sorry.
Right. Great. Thank you, Brandon, for hosting this, and good night, everyone. It worked pretty good.
Yeah.
It worked very well. I'm surprised it didn't break. Nice going. Thank you.